This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to the thrilling season finale of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thank you for listening in. As Brayton had in the update, we are coming to you live from Watkins Glen International, site of today's IndyCar Grand Prix here at WGI. The first time we've ever been live on site for a racing event. We've done a live remote from Batavia Downs this year, last year we did the live remote from Batavia Downs, but this is the first time we've ever been live on site for a racing event. So really excited to be at the Glen. We're coming to you from inside the media center up on the second floor in the radio room, and we'll be with you for the next 2 hours in our special season finale here on WGR's Fast Track. If you want to join us here this morning, phone lines are open 803-0551, 888-552-550. If you want to get a call in, now might be the best time to do it, because I have a feeling we're going to be kind of busy in the second hour of the program. We're going to have some guests coming in and out. Not sure who exactly is going to be coming in and out, but hopefully we have some good people to talk to you a little bit later on, including hopefully we're trying to pin down an IndyCar driver that's going to come and join us here in studio and talk to us for a few minutes. The IndyCars have just wrapped up their morning warm-up session here at the Glen as part of the usual race weekend for the Verizon IndyCar Series. They do a morning warm-up before taking the track for the race, and no surprise, on top of the speed chart, Scott Dixon was fastest in the morning warm-up with a best lap time of 1 minute 23.71 seconds for topping the speed charts in the morning warm-up. Second was R.C. Enerson, who drives for Dale Coyne Racing. R.C. is making just his second career IndyCar start today at the Glen. Dale Coyne Racing, of course, picked up a very memorable win here at the Glen back in 2009 with Justin Wilson, which was actually the last time I was here for an IndyCar race. The late Justin Wilson passed away about a year ago at Pocono. Joseph Newgarden rounding out the top three. Connor Daly, who's Enerson's teammate at Dale Coyne Racing, was fourth. And then Graham Rahal, who picked up the win last weekend at Texas for the IndyCar Series, rounded out the top five. But it's been the Scott Dixon show so far this weekend here at Watkins Glen International. Again, phone lines are open 803-0551, 888-552-550. Also, we're on Twitter, of course, at FastTrack550, and we're on Facebook too, facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. What a great busy weekend of racing, whether the local stuff or all the national series. The Labor Day weekend is one of the best weekends of racing, of course. You talk about the national and international scene. You've got here today at Watkins Glen with the IndyCar Series. You've got NASCAR at Darlington for the Southern 500. And the throwback theme has been awesome once again this year for the Spring Cup Series. That race coming up tonight. They had a lot of rain on Friday because of that tropical storm hurricane thing that was kind of been going up and down the coast this weekend. So qualifying got rained out. So Kevin Harvick on the pole for tonight's race. We'll try and squeeze in some NASCAR talk as it is the next to last race of the regular season for the Spring Cup Series. Also, you've got NHRA, they've got the U.S. Nationals, of course, this weekend at Indy, the Big Go, as they like to call it, one of their biggest race of their season. Formula One was in action this morning in Italy for the Grand Prix of Italy, and the local scene is also the very big weekend, Labor Day. Last night you had, especially the pavement tracks, you had Oswego Speedway, where I was, the NASCAR Modified Tour, ISMA Super Modifieds, and they're in the thick of their big classic weekend. They've got the big Budweiser International Classic this morning. Last night, Holland Speedway, and Wyoming County had big races. You've got track championships wrapping up a final weekend of dirt car points. So you had the local dirt tracks like Ransomville and Merrittville and Humberstone crowning their track champions for their dirt car division. So just a great, great weekend of racing. And if you've had a chance to check out any of it, whether it's been at a local track or just watching Cup or IndyCar or drag racing on your couch, feel free to join us here this morning at 803-0551. 888-550-2550. But again, here at the Glen, it's going to kind of be some of our focus today. But again, if you want to talk about something else, feel free to call in 803-0550. But as I said just a moment ago, it's been the Scott Dixon show pretty much all weekend here at Watkins Glen so far. Dixie is a three-time winner here at the Glen, won it 3 years in a row. And that knowledge he is putting to good use because he has been bad fast in the Chip Ganassi Target car and shattered the track record in qualifying. Not, no surprise, of course, with the repave here at Watkins Glen. We knew speeds were going to be up. We had been hearing about that through all the test sessions that it had been going on for the Indy cars. And that's definitely what happened as Dixon obliterated the track record, which was set back here in 2009 by Ryan Briscoe. And Dixon bettered it by about 6 seconds, if you can believe that. The previous record was 1 minute 28 seconds. Dixon on the pole today with a lap time of 1 minute 22 seconds. So Dixon very fast, but pretty much almost the whole field was faster than the existing track record, except a couple of cars that had some problems during qualifying. But the large majority of the field faster than the track record. It will be Dixon on the front row. Will Power, who's trying to remain in the championship hunt, comes into today second. This is the next last race in the IndyCar series by season, by the way. So Will Power trying to catch his teammate Simon Pagenaud, who we had on the show earlier this year. So he will start second as Will Power. Sebastian Bourdais, the Frenchman, will start third, even though he ran out of gas on his at the end of qualifying. He will still start third today. Elio Castroneves rolling off fourth. Tony Kanaan rounds out the top five starters. And then you've got rookie Max Chilton, who had a very impressive qualifying effort. He made the fast six qualifying yesterday, so three Chip Ganassi cars in the top 6 today as he rolls off sixth. Then you got Pagenaud in seventh, the points leader, as we said. JPM, Juan Pablo Montoya, who's had some memorable runs here in both in IndyCar and in the Cup Series, of course. He starts eighth today. Jack Hawksworth, ninth, and Mikhail Aloshin, the Russian driver, rounding out the top 10. Just outside the top 10 was, as we mentioned, rookie R.C. Enerson, who was second quick in the morning warm-up session. He qualified 11th, so another a good run for him, too. A couple of rookies inside the top 11. Some other notable names, Joseph Newgarden's 12th, James Hinchcliffe 13th. Some controversy for him and a couple drivers during qualifying yesterday, actually. Three or four drivers were given penalties for holding up the progress of their competitors during their group qualifying sessions, and Hinchcliffe spun out on one lap, and the IndyCar ruled that he had held up another driver because of it and was penalized and got bumped out of the fast six because he could have started. He was going to make the top six until the penalty was given to him by IndyCar, so he rolled off. He'll roll off 13th today. Indy 500 winner Alexander Rossi starts 15th today. Marco Andretti 18th, Ryan Hunter Ray 19th, and Graham Rahal back in 20th. So some big names, including some of the Andretti Autosport and Rahal Letterman drivers, starting deep in the field today here at Watkins Glen. Race gets going at about 2:30 today. Green flag just after 2:30 this afternoon for the Verizon IndyCar Series. Again, 803-0551, 888-552-550 as the IndyCar Series returning here to Watkins Glen for this gorgeous day, by the way. I didn't even mention that here off the top, but what a fantastic day here at the Glen, and I'm sure in the Buffalo area as well, too. Just a gorgeous Labor Day weekend, and just had a gorgeous drive-in this morning. Stayed overnight in Auburn in between Oswego and the Glen here. I stayed over a night in Auburn, had a nice picturesque drive down Route 414 this morning alongside Seneca Lake, and just a great view coming in to the racetrack this morning. But they got a great day for it here at Watkins Glen, as it seems like the Glen has been in a weather bubble compared to some of the NASCAR tracks. Of course, this whole month of August has just been rain central for a lot of the tracks, especially the NASCAR tracks, except for the Glen. Of course, Glen had their Cup weekend about a month ago. It was gorgeous, but you've had tracks like Pocono, Darlington this weekend. They'll have a great day today for the race, but Friday they had like 4 inches of rain because of that tropical storm, and Road America with the Xfinity Series had rain, and just a lot of tracks. Even Bristol, of course, had the night race postponed till Sunday afternoon. So a lot of tracks dealing with some weather. But Watkins Glen, Michael Printa, he should head to the casino after today, because he's hit the jackpot weather-wise here for his two big weekends, and just a great day for it. So it should be a gorgeous day here at the Glen for today's race. Again, 803-0551-888-550-2550. Real quick, we'll squeeze in the cup race tonight, the Southern 500 at Darlington. As I said, field set by owner's points because qualifying was rained out on Friday. NASCAR could have moved it to Saturday, but they wanted drivers to concentrate more on race mode practice, so they just washed out qualifying and set the field by points. So it'll be Harvick and Keselowski on the front row, Carl Edwards and Kurt Busch in row two. Carl Edwards, the defending race winner of the Southern 500. And then you got Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex, Jimmy Johnson, and Matt Kenseth rounding out your top 10 starters today. The next to last race before the chase begins. And we had a bit of a shakeup in the chase. You know, I sat last week and I said, oh, the chase field is set. There's not going to be any changes in the chase. And, of course, Kyle Larson went out last week at Michigan and proved me wrong, because he went out and picked up his first career win last week in the Sprint Cup Series. And what a drive it was for Larson. And he just bumped himself into the chase and proved me wrong. I said I didn't think anybody else was going to win these last three races. And, you know, we had Jordan Bianchi last week on, and he said he thought Larson was going to get it done. And he was correct, because it was, you know, Larson getting the win, and he's in the chase. So that makes things a lot more interesting here for today at Darlington. This coming Saturday at Richmond, of course, for the regular season finale, makes things a little more interesting as, it bumps, you know, Ryan Newman. He's now the first car outside looking in, and he's only 15 back at Jamie McMurray. So things will be a little more interesting to watch for that final spot in on points. With other guys little ways out, they're going to need a lot of help these two races if they're going to bump their way into points, with guys like Casey Kane, Trevor Bayne, and Ryan Blaney. But the battle will be here between Newman and McMurray and Austin Dillon and Chase Elliott to see who makes the chase in on points for the 2016 chase for the Sprint Cup. But now Kyle Larson is in, and Larson, he's 15th in points, but he gets bumped over Newman because of the win, of course, and being in the top 30 in points. So right now, it might be unprecedented that we actually have three drivers kind of have to bump some drivers out based on points, because they've got a win and inside the top 30, and we've got three right now between Buescher, Stewart, and Larson, as James Buescher still in the top 30 just by 7 points, though. So Buescher had some mechanical problems last week at Michigan, so he'll have to mind his P's and Q's for these final two races in the regular season to see if he can still make his way in, because, of course, you know, it's not a done deal. He's still got to stay in the top 30 for two more races to advance to the chase. Of course, with Darlington, you've got the throwback theme. You know, we've kind of talked about it, but what a great, great promotion it's been since they moved the Southern 500 back to Darlington last year, and now this year, all the cars with the different retro paint schemes. You've got, you know, NBC going in full in with it with their TV broadcast. You're going to see, you know, Ned Jarrett and Ken Squire on TV tonight. You're going to see old school graphics. It's going to be a ton of fun, and the teams have been really it up. You've got, you know, Tony Stewart. He's got the Tony Stewart's got the throwback Bobby Allison paint scheme with the Coca-Cola, and you know, the crew has gone full, and they've got the old school 70s Picker uniform, so it should be pretty cool. Again, 803-0551 888-550-2550. Sorry about that. We're just doing some producing here on the fly. Apologize for the delay, but we're going to be bringing in a guest here in just a minute. We are, again, live here from Watkins Glen International for today's IndyCar race here at Watkins Glen. And walking into the radio room as we speak, a friend of the program we've had on many a times here, John Oriovitz from ESPN.com with his son Patrick, having a fun road trip before school begins. And John is going to sit down here and join us here in just a second. John, good morning. Great to do this in person for once.
Hi, Dave. It's a rare honor, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's great to have you up here, and what a great weekend for IndyCar to be back at Watkins Glen, and they've hit the jackpot here weather-wise. It's going to be a great show today.
Man, it's been spectacular. The last time I was here, I came out here, I don't know, last summer or the summer before. Patrick and I actually came to the town for a couple of days before going to the IndyCar Pocono race. And it was rainy. We still made the most of it and went exploring in the state park and everything. And, of course, ate several times at Mr. Chicken, as you do when you have a 10-year-old with you. But we always enjoy visiting Watkins Glen. I love the heritage and the history of the place. And it's just it's a mighty racetrack. I wrote a story on Friday where I said if Watkins Glen would be compared to an oval, it would be a super speedway. We saw record speeds here in qualifying, 147-mile-an-hour average speed. I mean, that's mile oval speed not that too long ago for Indy cars. So it's really amazing to see them averaging nearly 150 miles an hour around a sweeping and majestic road course like this. And I'm just thrilled to see that they're back and that they're back with a three-year deal now, as it turns out.
It seems like the 2015 season or 2016 season, it's kind of like the reunion tour, I guess, for IndyCar. You've had Watkins Glen, the late edition, back in the schedule, going back to Phoenix, going back to Road America. A lot of great venues are back on the IndyCar schedule now.
I think that makes a lot of people, certainly within the paddock, happy. And whether it makes a difference to the greater outer public, that understands and appreciates the history that those tracks had pre-1996, before the split. Elkhart Lake or Road America was phenomenal this year. I think the turnout there exceeded everyone's expectations. We've had a lot of times in the last 10 or 15 years with IndyCar where there have been tracks or markets that have been in danger of falling off the schedule, and they either barely hang on or they do make a comeback, and they're not supported by the fans. And at Road America, the place was packed. I can't say that it looked to me as full as it was in 1993 or 1995 in the Nigel Mansell and Jacques Villeneuve era, but the owners of the track called it a record crowd, and if they want to call it a record crowd, that's good enough for me. It was certainly the best camping crowd I've ever seen there, and it was great to be back. It's another one of those towns, and I sat and Patrick and I were driving down the old track as we were going back to our hotel yesterday, and I wondered, how is it that these wonderful road racing facilities pop up seemingly in the middle of nowhere? There's a lot of similarities to Watkins Glen and Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin.
The camping thing, not only for IndyCar, but for the Cup Series, it seems like right now, especially up here in the Northeast and maybe even the Midwest, the tracks that have a great camping atmosphere, like here at the Glen, Michigan, Pocono, Road America, the tracks that have a really fun camping atmosphere, seem like are doing the best right now, bringing in the fans attendance-wise.
Yeah, I'd agree with that assessment. I think some of the most successful events that I've seen around the country this summer have been at natural terrain road courses like this, places that encourage camping, that have a beautiful environment for it, a natural habitat for it. There was a big crowd for IndyCar in Mid-Ohio. I was here for the NASCAR weekend here at Watkins Glen, and it was neat to see the place filled up. You know, I'd been here three or four times for IndyCars 5-10 years ago. But it was neat to really see the place jamming the way you like to see a racetrack, with that kind of spirit and environment. So that's a challenge, and we're seeing a lot of oval tracks are facing attendance declines, and it seems like the ones that do have the hearty camping atmosphere, places like Talladega and Michigan, have been able to somehow hang on. But I think ultimately, If you look at all those NASCAR tracks that are hosting two races a year, there's going to have to be some form of contraction at some point.
John Oriovis joining us live here from Watkins Glen International and WGR's Fast Track. Let's talk about the race today, John, and how is this not going to be another chapter of the Scott Dixon Show, because he has been very fast so far this weekend, and he's a former three-time winner, of course.
Well, those are true facts, but as we've seen in the IndyCar series, the fastest guy doesn't always win. This series tends to throw out more full course cautions and yellow flags than a series like Formula One. And of course, they close the pits a lot of times and pack up the field, and it kind of artificially creates drama, and it doesn't let a race unfold the way it normally would organically, and sometimes the fastest guy is the one that pays the price for the circumstances. I hope we get a clean, fast race, because I would love to see two or three guys just, you know, having a good, solid 60-lap sprint race today with these mind-boggling speeds. You think about it, if they go without caution, they're going to finish this thing in an hour and a half or so, which, I mean, that's highly unlikely given the propensity for yellows in the series. But it's going to be interesting to see if anybody can beat Dixon. And, of course, the subplot is the championship between Will Power and Simon Pagenaud.
Of course, tires have been a big topic of discussion. The red's the grippier tire, but a lot of teams seeing the black tires work very well out there. I was trying to watch on the computer here some of the warmth this morning. Some teams were out there on reds. What do you think is going to be the best brand to go with today?
I think what we're seeing is a situation where the track has so much grip.
Yeah.
That the extra grip afforded by the red tires is actually slowing them down. They have to have some ability to slide the car and move the car, and they may not be getting that at all on the reds. So unless anybody's really learned a way to make them work or make them last, I think you're going to look at teams trying to minimize the stint that they run on the reds, and that the majority of the race will be run on standard black tires. But the rule state is you've got to run the reds for at least one two-lap stint. So it'll be interesting to see how that strategy plays off. When the first yellow occurs will play a big part in that.
And there was some controversy during qualifying yesterday. A couple of drivers got some penalties for impeding the progress of their fellow competitors. And I know James Hinchcliffe was very upset, and he still seems upset, because I saw him walk out of the drivers' meeting this morning. He was shaking his head, and he did not have a good look on his face.
Well, I think there's one thing you can say about IndyCar officiating, whether it was through USAC or CART or Champ Car or IRL or whoever. It's consistently inconsistent. Anytime you have a fast track like this, it's a challenge to try to gap and maintain a place on the racetrack where you can run a flat-out qualifying lap. And even though they split the field into two groups, people were still getting blocked. I don't think anybody was doing it on purpose. But at the same time, when you've got 10 minutes for a session, you've got a choice of basically running one four-lap stint or two or three-lap stints. That doesn't give you any margin for error. And I know IndyCar wants to keep group qualifying, and they want to keep it brief, because as it is, the procedure lasts an hour and 15 minutes. But at some of these longer tracks like Road America and here, they may have to accept that 10 or 12 minutes for a group or a session just isn't enough.
John Orivitz, a couple of minutes left here. Can I ask you a NASCAR question? Is that all right? I know you're in IndyCar mode here this morning, but we got the news this week. Dale Jr. is going to be out for the rest of the year because of these concussion symptoms, and Alex Bowman and Jeff Gordon are going to split the 88 car for the rest of the season, the last 12 races or so. What do you think is possibly next for Dale Jr.? Do you think is he going to be back come 2017, or do you think we get a retirement announcement from Dale Jr. at some point before next year at February?
Well, it's obviously, I talked to Dario Franchitti about it yesterday, because he's a guy that had a history of concussions and spinal injuries that ultimately forced him to step away from the car on the advice of doctors. And Jr.'s, you know, he wants to be in the car right now, and he's out of the car on the advice of doctors, because they say, well, look, our tests say that you're not 100%, that there are functions that aren't working in your brain that should be. It's a sobering thought for NASCAR and for NASCAR fans thinking about the sport without Dale Jr. or a solid Earnhardt presence. That name has just been synonymous with stock car racing for the last 30 or 35 years. But Jr. seems to be a guy that's got a pretty good grasp on his own mortality. He's fascinated with his own family history. He's made trips to Germany in the last couple of years. He's got a really much more human outlook on life, I think, thanks to his girlfriend Amy Ryman. My gut feeling is we're not going to see him again, but I say that only from the experience of seeing guys that have had their bell rung a few times, and you can see that they've lost, you know, a quarter of a step. It's barely perceptible, but it's there. Dario acknowledges that he's had memory loss and trouble with certain motor functions. And the most encouraging thing about Junior is that he recognized that he wasn't himself. Mm-hmm. He went and he said, hey, he put his hand up, I don't think something's right here. It ended up costing him half a season in a race car, but at the same time, it may end up saving his life. I'd hate to be melodramatic like that. But at the same time, head injuries, concussions, they're a huge focus in the sports world right now. And when a high-profile star in a contact sport like this is experiencing what he's experiencing, and frankly, sharing it in the public domain. He's going to talk to the media again at Darlington this afternoon. It's fascinating to watch real life play out in real life, and I hope as a person and as a competitor, I hope for the best for Dale.
And the biggest thing is the fact that he, on his own, said, like you said, something's not right here. I need to have this looked at and possibly step out of the car. I mean, in a sport like auto racing, where you're the alpha male, you know, driving race car, risking, you know, your life every time you get in the race car, just to have the guts to come out and say that says a lot about it. And you talked about how he has matured as a person, especially, of course, with the death of his father. But it just shows that he is thinking about long term, and that's a good thing to see from a race car driver.
Well, when I talked to Dario about it, he said that it took more courage. He said that race car drivers were programmed to get back in the car, to just push through it and focus on the next race. And he said it took more courage for Dale to stay out of the car than to get back in. And I think that says it all. Dario's a pretty smart guy. He's obviously well-versed in the history of motorsports. And as he said of Dale Jr., he said, I'm a fan. And in the 4 or 5 years that I've covered a lot more NASCAR, certainly Dale Jr. has been one of the most enjoyable drivers to deal with. He's just so natural and real. If you get a one-on-one interview with him, he gives you his time and his attention, and you don't always get that when you get, especially with the top stars like that. So it's sad if his career is coming down to an end this way, but at the same time, look at Dario. He's happy out there in retirement. He's still involved in the sport, and obviously Dale Jr. would be there too with his Xfinity series, with his other involvements in motorsport. So it's not like he's going to be away from NASCAR or away from racing. He's just not going to be the guy driving the 88 car.
John Oriovitz from ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at IndyOrio. John, like I said off the top, it's really fun to get to do this in person instead of over the phone. Great to see you and your son, and enjoy the day here at Watkins Glen.
Well, thanks a lot. I should have had you bring me some wings, because I hear that they're the real deal there in Buffalo.
Yeah, we're kind of known for that. Actually, this is the National Buffalo Wing Festival is going on right now, actually, in the city of Buffalo. So maybe if we do get a caution-free race, you might be able to head out of here and still make it down to the city and check that out.
Well, I don't think the boys seen Niagara Falls yet, so we'll keep it in mind for our itinerary on the way home.
Take care. Thanks for joining us. John Oriovitz from ESPN.com. We're going to step aside here, take a break. When we come back, more live from Watkins Glen here on the site of the IndyCar race. It's Fast Track here on WGR. .11:35 here on WGR, Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan, WGR's Fast Track, our thrilling season finale, 2-hour special here live from Watkins Glen International, the site of today's IndyCar race. And apologize for the first segment there. When you have a very long opening segment like I do, and you're trying to get guests on, there's no chance to pause. So I had to stick my head out the door to wave John Oriovitz in to get him in here for that opening segment. So I apologize for like the brief dead air there that first segment. But that's what happens when you're on your own, flying by the seat of your pants here, doing live radio. And the Guestapalooza continues here inside the media center. Is joining us right now. I don't think we've had him on all season. From the Buffalo News, Larry Ott is here covering the race for the paper. Hi, Larry, good to see you.
Good to see you, David.
Obviously, this wasn't on our itineraries when we were planning our seasons earlier this year. This didn't get added till May, but it looks like it's setting up to be a great day here at Watkins Glen.
It is. 3 months ago, this race didn't exist. Then the previously scheduled race in Boston, Massachusetts got canceled. Literally overnight, the race came here to Watkins Glen, first time since 2010. And yeah, it's a beautiful day today. Hopefully a good crowd turns out, and it's nice to see IndyCars back in our region.
Yeah, definitely. We're actually pretty fortunate. You look at the schedule for next year, and you got here, of course, Watkins Glen back on the schedule for 2 more years up through 2018. Of course, you got Toronto, you've got Pocono, you can go to Michigan, mid-Ohio, and really from where we are in Western New York, Larry, we don't have to travel far to see a lot of the IndyCar schedule.
No, we don't, and it's varied tracks. You got, as you said, the street circuit in Toronto. You have the road course here. You have the Trioval in Pocono, among some of the tracks that are 6 hours or less. So it's variety, as well as having the series here all around.
I'm assuming you've been here all weekend, or here yesterday and today. I just got here today, but what are some of the things you've been seeing so far this weekend? Obviously, the one guy to beat so far this weekend has been Scott Dixon.
Well, Scott has always been fast here. Scott won the race in 2005, 2006, 2007. And he got the pole yesterday and, of course, a track record. But all 22 cars here this weekend were under the existing track record set in 2009 by Ryan Briscoe by almost 5 miles an hour. So everybody kind of broke the track record this weekend. But Scott Dixon's, you know, this is a track he knows very well. He does very well at, but you never know. I mean, IndyCar races can turn around in a lap.
Yeah, we were talking with John Oriovitz the last segment that just because he's the fastest car doesn't always win is how John put it, and anything can happen. And we've seen this weekend, Larry, there's been a couple incidents, both guys crashing. Joseph Newgarden had a very hard hit in practice. We've had some penalties during time trials yesterday. There's been a lot of different things. So there could be a few wild card moments in the race today. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Helio Castroneves is in the fourth position. Simon Pagenaud is usually strong. Even though he's never raced here before, he's been strong on road courses. Juan Pablo Montoya, this is his first weekend here in his career running the long course with IndyCars. People recall that he was here several times with Ganassi Racing when he was in the NASCAR circuit and running the short road course here. But Juan Montoya is always a win waiting to happen anywhere he goes, so you never know. Will Power is strong. And, of course, both Simon Pagenaud and Will Power had to be also mindful of the fact that they're going for the championship in IndyCar. They're close in points. Pagenaud is one. Will Power is two. And there's only one more race after this in Sonoma, California. So there's the point championship that's very close as well. And that'll be important this weekend. Plus, once they get to Sonoma, there the finale in IndyCar is double points.
Yeah, so a lot of guys are still mathematically eligible, but it'll be Pagenaud and Power likely going at it for the title, depending on how things play out today here at Watkins Glen, of course. Larry Ott from the Buffalo News, currently our guest here on WGR's Fast Track. Larry, you come to this facility a lot to cover various events. You're here, you come up for the 6 Hours weekend, Cup weekend, IndyCar, some of the other events. I know you've been up here too. It seems like Watkins Glen, the facility, it's always been a great facility, don't get me wrong, but it seems like as an attraction for the average race fan, it seems like it has been taking off the last few years where people in racing know this is a great facility, but it seems like your average casual race fan is now realizing this is a cool place to come to watch a race, even if you don't see the cars the whole time, that you come here and camp and you have a blast. And it seems like that has really taken off for this facility over the last few years.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, this morning I was conversing with Watkins Glen president Michael Pernup, who was a native of Hamburg, and we were talking about Watkins Glen, and Mike talked about the fact that, yeah, the racing is good here, but people can see there's a lot of money being invested, but also what they've done, New York State stats show that a lot of people in and around New York State are campers. And this is a great camping environment. I mean, you could actually come here and have a great camping weekend and never even actually want to watch a race. I don't know who would, but you could actually have a camping weekend here, have a great time, and not even see a race. But they also have done things this year that have gotten a lot more families involved. I know for NASCAR weekend, they had a kids zone. They had a small little Ferris wheel and some other amusement park rides here. NASCAR weekend, they also had in the fan zone at night for the kids, they showed the Peanuts movie. So when you come here, they stress very much, it's not, yeah, you're coming to a race, but there's a lot of things to do here besides just what happens on track.
And, of course, the on-track product is great, too, and that's where the more in-tune race fan, and especially with the Cup Series, that we've seen road course racing, of course, you know, get a lot more exciting, get a lot more physical, and you pair that with the camping part, and it's really paid off for the Glen. I mean, they've had back-to-back, you know, grandstand reserve seat sellouts now for the Cup race, and it's amazing, because I remember before I got into the media side of sport, just being an average race fan, but I remember there, maybe in the late 90s, there was question marks. Would NASCAR come back to Watkins Glen? You had to get that reassurance every year that they were going to sign an agreement with Glen, you know, especially before the ISC took over. It was sometimes a question mark if NASCAR was going to come back here.
Well, that's correct. I remember coming here every year for the Cup race, and you would always hear the rumors, and the first question asked of NASCAR, is this the last year here? There was a lot of outdated things about this place. Remember, in the 70s, they had gone bankrupt until Corning rescued them. But during these early years, maybe 10, 15 years ago, the septic system was bad here. Other things were bad. And ISC, who owns the Speedway, was trying to lobby the state to get involved and invest money here, much like the government invests money, say, in, I guess it's now what, New Era Field or in Orchard Park, yeah. Ralph Wilson Stadium and other things. They were looking to get government money as well to help here. Well, some of it came in. ISC has been investing a lot of capital here. And it's one of those things that as you start to see the capital investment paying off, or as they say, return on investment, mm-hmm. you then spend more money. And they've spent more and more money here. And, of course, this repay project has been known all over the world. So that's what's happened. And now when you come to a cup race, it's so refreshing that the first question is not, will you guys be back here next year? The question now is, hey, how is the sellout going?
Yeah. Larry Ott from the Buffalo News joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. Last thing, Larry, I know you always do a great job with your columns, finding the local angle, finding personalities involved with each event that have connections to Western New York. We of course, know about Michael Printup and his connection. Is there anybody here today that you're going to be talking to that has a Buffalo connection that we might not know about?
As a matter of fact, in the morning paper this morning, which you can get at the newsstand, or you can see the BuffaloNews.com, I have a story in there this morning on Ron Rajewski. Ron is an Elma native. He is the technical director for Penske Racing. And coming up through the ranks, Ron used to attend races at Holland Speedway. He has an affiliation with the Feeblecorn team that runs out there, first Mike Sr. and now, of course, these days Mike Jr. And Ron grew up in and around Holland Speedway. He progressed through the ranks. He joined Team Penske several years ago. He was the engineer for Sam Hornish, Helio Castroneves, and Juan Montoya when they won their Indy 500s. And the gist of my story this morning is that when Ron was on the team before with Penske, he used to come to the races and he was in charge of watching one team. Now he's a technical director. He's in charge of the engineers, and Ron's overseeing all four Penske cars that are in the race today. Simon Pagenaud, Will Power, Helio Castroneves, and Juan Montoya. He's watching all these cars today and interacting with all the different engineering people that are here. He's got 12 engineers here helping him today. And for the race itself today, he's going to base himself in the pits of the number two entry of Juan Montoya. But then he'll be communicating back and forth with the other three Penske engineers on the other cars throughout the race. So, yeah, Ron's here in a big way. He's responsible for four cars of the 22-car field today. He's responsible for four of them. And, of course, you're working for Roger Penske, so...
Yeah, you're working for the captain, so you got to have your starch collar and your white shirt and keep those cars up front. But that's almost fifth of the field. That's pretty awesome. I knew you had somebody because it seems like every NASCAR week, it seems like you find somebody new that I haven't heard of that has its Western New York connection that's now in NASCAR or IndyCar or connected to the Glen somehow. Well, Larry, after today, we're just wrapping up here, but after today, Larry, things get a lot more interesting back home. We've had a lot of track champions crowned. We've got some big end-of-year races. This is September's like one of the best months of the year for racing.
You know, I'm here this weekend for the IndyCar series at Watkins Glen, but I've not forgotten that over the last couple of days in Western New York, there's been a lot of great racing going on. There's been championships decided, for example, at Holland and Genesee and Ransomville and Merrittville in various classes. So I know I'm missing a lot of things back home this weekend, but I'll be back next weekend ready to go. Other tracks will decide championships next weekend, like, say, for example, Lancaster. And then the weekend after that, I'll be to the final show of the season at Little Valley. Then just 3 weeks from now, I believe it is, I'll be 2 days at the U.S. Open at Lancaster. I'll be to one more drag race this year at Lancaster, then on to the fall show at Wyoming County. So there's a lot of important and fun races coming up in this last month of the season, and I'm going to try to get to as many as I can.
Well, we appreciate the coverage, and you and me, we're the Western New York racing media contingent here, housed in one little room here at Watkins Glen. Larry Ott from the Buffalo News, thank you so much for your time. We're going to step aside here. When we come back, we'll you are traditional here, final segment of the 11 o'clock hour, our local racing roundup. Got a few minutes with Ryan Soucy recorded on Friday at Ransomville. He just locked up the Modified Track Championship at the Big R. So we get back, local racing roundup, Ryan Soucy. But stick around, we've got a whole nother hour. And actually, I just got confirmation, IndyCar rookie R.C. Enerson is going to join us here live at the Glen at noon. So stay tuned, we're on till 1 o'clock. This is Fast Track here on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we'll start Friday night action. Lancaster National Dragway, Zell Gaiman getting the win in top eight. Dave Sermachewski getting the win in the top ET. Guy Menard, first career win in Mod ET. Jim Thompson in TNT Hot Rod Series. Pete Marston, Sleds and Bikes. Dan Nabb in Street ET. And the Buffalo Street Outlaws, Mo Alfiki and Chris Halton got the win in the Buffalo Street Outlaws at Lancaster on Friday night. Drags are off this Friday. They've got the bracket finals in Pittsburgh, but the stock car season wraps up this Saturday night, the regular season that is, with a season points finale for the three weekly divisions plus TQ Midgets. Ransomville Speedway on Friday, Kenny Wills won a caution-free 50-lap feature to round out the regular season for the 358 Modifieds. Ryan Susie won the track championship. You'll hear from Ryan in just a minute. Dave Conant got the win in the Sportsman, while Matt Farnham, who we had on the show earlier this year, picked up the track title there. Jaron Israel in the Street Stocks, Chad Lederhaus in the Four Cylinders, and Andrew Spurback in the Novice Sportsman Division. Freedom Motorsports Park, they had the Race of Champions Sportsman Series. Chad Chevalier got the win over Brad Rouse. Rush Late Models, Jeremy Wonderling, Al Brewer in the Street Stocks, Bill Weller Jr. in the Mini Stocks. Saturday night action, Wyoming County International Speedway, the first half of their big Labor Day weekend, Jacob Gustafson getting the win in the Four Cylinders. Rusty Smith won the big Sportsman SST Modified race over TJ Potrabowski and Wayne Baker. They are racing today at the Perry Bullring, 3 o'clock. They've got the Modifieds, full-blown Modifieds, on American Racer Tires and Super Stocks today at the Perry Bullring. Other Saturday night action, Genesee Speedway in Batavia. It was J.J. Mazur getting the win in the Crate Late Models. Got a text from his pit crew member, John, who follows us on Twitter and gives us some updates. They got the win there. Ray Bliss and the Sportsman over Matt Steffenhagen. 360 Late Models, Mikey Wonderling, Byron DeWitt in the Street Stocks, Bill Weller Jr. in the Mini Stocks, Eddie Kowalczyk in the Bandits there at Genesee. Holland Speedway last night, they had a big show too. Big long-distance races for the Chargers, Hornets, and Sportsmen. And George Gore III got the win in the Sportsman race over Amy Catalano and Jeff Brown, 75-lapper. Mark Hoke dominated the Pro Charger field. Louis Carbone got the win in the Hornets, Kyle Hutchinson in the TQ Midgets, Carl Villardo IV in the Legends, Daryl Phillip in the Rookie Fours, and Jim Steins in the Figure Eights. Merrittville Speedway last night, Kyle Rothwell won the Mini Stock feature, but Tyler LaFontese got the championship. Dave Bailey wrapped up the Hoosier Stock Championship with a feature win. Same story for Josh Slider in the Mod Lights. Paul Gabori won the Sportsman feature. Cody McPherson wrapped up the title. Pete Bicknell got the win and the championship at his home track in the 358 Modifieds. And novice sportsman Dave DiPietro won the feature. Trevor Wright won the championship. Merrittville Speedway, by the way, big question mark. I don't know, I haven't talked about this enough. They got a big question mark going into next year. The Williamsons and Bicknells are selling the facility. If they do not find an owner, the track will not open under the current ownership next year. So they're looking for someone to buy it. There are some leads reportedly, nothing concrete to talk about, but there's some question marks going into next year at the Merrittville Speedway. Also tonight, Humberstone Speedway wraps up their dirt. The last weekend for dirt car points, but their track points, I think, go another week. But Sportsman Late Model Street Stocks, Trucks, and Mini Stocks tonight at Humberstone at 6:30. Eric Rudolph won the big modified race there last weekend at Humberstone, the second annual Pete Costco Memorial. Okay, we're running out of time, but want to squeeze in here. Ryan Susie, who won the Ransomville Speedway Modified Track Championship Friday night. I recorded this with Ryan Friday after the races at Ransomville. Here's Ryan Susie on Fast Track.
Well, Ryan, after winning a modified track championship last year, did you think you were going to be able to come back this year and pull it off again?
I'm going to say probably not. We did our homework last year and we had a good thing going, but when the track changed this year, you know, when the Atwells took over, they changed the track around, and we definitely struggled to start the season a little bit. So midway through the year, we were kind of wondering what we had to do to be successful. In the last few weeks here, we really found something. I don't know, the car just really reacted. We made some changes on some of the products we were using on the car, and seems like, I don't know, we dialed it in. I think tonight we actually had a 75-lap race car. Unfortunately, we only had 50 and we had all green, but the last 20 laps, thing just came on like a missile, and I reeled in Chad, and I think we were the fastest car the last 20 laps, but it was too late. But, I'm real happy to do it the first time, and now to do it a second time, it's kind of surreal.
Did you have a strategy going in tonight, or just stay ahead of that 42 car?
It's $2,500 to win. We were going for the win tonight, you know, especially after last week, how fast the car was. We knew we were going to come with the same game plan, just probably tighten it up a little bit because it's going to get a little slicker, and I think we made all the right moves. We didn't scuff our right rear enough. It took too long to come in the feature. I think that's why we kind of lost some spots early and got stuck in traffic. But once it really took off, the car was a missile. It was just unfortunate that it didn't get a yellow. But congrats to Kenny. He was real fast. You know, rookie driver coming out, winning two races, one of them a real big one. It's a pretty awesome season for him.
You definitely came loaded for bear right out of the heat race. You put on a show in the heat race. You went 3 for 1. You went from like 6th to 3rd on one lap, and then you chased down the lead to win the heat race. You definitely were a keyed in for tonight.
Yeah, we just, you know, my whole mentality, especially for heat races, is all the people in the grandstands pay to put on a show. I hate riding around finishing 4th to qualify. If I have a good car, I'm going to try and do something with it. Otherwise, you know, why are we racing? So I just, some of the guys on the crew hate it, but, you know, the racetrack's there, the car's there. Why not put on a show and try and win it? So car was good. It was dialed in right from the start. Like I said, I think we just missed a little bit on our tire, but, you know, it came in late, and, you know, all in all, it was a good night.
I think one of the things you proved once again is you can stay out of trouble. When you've got, you know, guys like Eric Rudolph coming in winning 5 races, you did it once again with just consistent finishes and trying to stay out of the trouble most nights.
Yeah, you know, we lacked a little bit of the consistency early in the season. Like I said, adjusting to the track, it's just a little different from what we were used to last year. Last year we were on a harder, the 400 compound a lot of times and just doing different things. This year it seemed like, you know, the way they were preparing the track, it was kind of hard to judge what the track was going to do. Some nights it would be real heavy when you anticipated the track was going to be real slick. Like you'd have a hot summer week and you'd come here and the track was super bitey with a big cushion. So it was kind of hard to really pick. But the last month or so we had a good game plan and really, you know, made the right calls when it comes to the setup.
Wrapping up in a season tomorrow now at Merrittville, where you're still mathematically in the hunt for the championship. But what has been the year at Merrittville been like for you?
We've been all right. We unfortunately never visited Victory Lane, so hopefully we can do that tomorrow. We've been kind of like we were here, mostly top fives, and if we weren't top fives, we were real close to it. Last week I had a little bit of an incident, and I ended up finishing 14th, so that kind of took us out of the points. But we can still get second for sure. I don't know if we're mathematically in it for the win, but you know, if not, congrats to Pete and him or Lindbergh's going to win the championship for sure. So congrats to those guys. It was fun, you know. I really got to thank Rob Clark for giving me that opportunity. I ran his car for most of the season over there and a few times with my own stuff. So, you know, it was a good year. I know we got 2 or 3 second-place finishes and a whole bunch of top five. So it was a good season.
Last thing, I know you got something big on your calendar in September, but you're going to try and fit in a few races as well, too.
Yeah, I guess I'm getting married on the 24th of September. But this week, Rolling Wheels announced that there's a race, pretty big paying race on the 25th. So I got to kind of suck up to mom and see what happens. Maybe we can go race the day after the wedding. It's a little bit of a honeymoon for us. So it'd be a nice, definitely a nice wedding present to cash in on 10 grand for a big block race.
Were you going to put in a honeymoon right after the wedding, or is that going to be on hold now because of the Rolling Wheels race?
No, we're going to probably wait till the winter anytime. I've been pushing her for Speed Weeks in Florida, but she's not going for that. She wants a white sand beach somewhere in the Caribbean or some nonsense. I don't want to go racing. I don't know.
Congratulations, my friend, and good luck with the wedding and the rest of your racing season.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks.
There is the Ransomville Renegade, Ryan Soucy, fresh off his track championship Friday night at Ransomville. We come back. He's already joined us here in studio. He's going to stick around through the break, and we appreciate that. IndyCar rookie R.C. Enerson from Dale Coyne Racing is going to join us live here from Watkins Glen when we get back on Fast Track on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.